The question is that in the diagnosis of tsaras, there's a case where if tsaras, if the affliction covers the entire body, then it's tahar, then it's not a problem. Only when there's a mixture of what appears to be healthy skin along with tsaras. Okay. So that's the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says the reason that it's tahar is because if it's all out on the skin, it means that it's no longer in the inside. That's how the Ibn Ezra
cows out of the barn.
So he says if it's all out. But some of the other thoughts that are given on this are that we have a way of persuading ourselves when we want to that some people who in fact are doing things that are really not acceptable, but we keep on either rationalizing their behavior or we argue that it's not so bad and they have these other good points. So we continue either to support them or to defend them. Which is not to say that people who are guilty of wrongdoing should not be befriended and whatnot, but the point is that human nature being what it is and our readiness to excuse lots of things, the Torah comes along and says, look, if this person has one of the things that generates this eruption on the skin, which tells you that there's arrogance or there's miserliness or there's lashon hara, they're demeaning other people or publicly slandering them, or there's envy, jealousy, all these kinds of things. The things that are, for which Chazal tell us, are the causes of tsaras. So we continue to maintain our social ties with them because they have other good things. They're good poker players, or we go out to the theater with them together, or whatever. I mean, there's a person lets me use their lawnmower. Whatever it is, we continue to condone and overlook the nasty stuff that's going on without recognition for the damage that this is causing. And it's the good parts of them which sustain the bad parts of them. So as long as what you have is a person who has some tsaras and some healthy skin, our Chazal tell us, he's outside the company of people until he gets his act in order. You should not be excusing it, you shouldn't be condoning it, you should not be tolerating it. So inasmuch as society is not going to act with sufficient vigilance about this person, take him out of commission. But the guy who's got it all on the outside, nobody's gonna. There's nothing there to excuse. In other words, the guy who presents himself as being through and through rotten, nobody's gonna make any excuses for him. Nobody's gonna have. So we don't have to worry about him. That's the way that's read. In other words, the guy who's got his entire person presents as he does not have any healthy skin. So I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about the guy who has a healthy skin, because that's the guy who's gonna have credibility, because otherwise he's a good guy, or whatever. That's the guy we gotta worry about. That's the guy we gotta deal with. The guy who's got it all out. So that's another approach to this thing, where this person is not presenting any healthy skin. We don't have to be concerned about his credibility. We don't have to worry about it.
He doesn't have any.
There's a philanthropist here in the community who gives, was giving many of the local Orthodox organizations generously. I was also giving very generously to support abortion. It's very, very, very hard to deal with that. And I used to, those rare occasions where I would meet him at some Federation event or whatnot, I really didn't get into it with them. In general, people who are very wealthy are very invested in the wisdom of their opinions and are not particularly impressed by what anybody else has to say about it. Yes, that's a problem. The problem is that the good does end up supporting the bad or giving credibility to the bad. Another thing that some of the commentaries say about this is that there's numerous statements in the Gemara. There's in some places, they're all completely, many of them are connected, collected in one place. But what are the conditions that will prevail when Mashiach comes? So many of them are not so much insisting that these are the things that need, are the necessary precursors, so much as if this happens, then Mashiach has to come. And one of them is, if the entire leadership, it's not clear exactly to me in any event, whether that means the leadership of Israel, the leadership of the world, but the entire leadership is given over to apostasy. And Benduidva had given over to Minus. So another one is Ain Benduidva Elalidir Shikule Chayev. Mashiach won't come other than to a generation that is completely without merit. There are no meritorious people. And conversely, Ain Benduidva Ela Ludir Shikule Zakai. Mashiach will come to a generation that is completely righteous. So I think that one of the things that it's suggesting over here that is that if there is a generation that's totally righteous, then it deserves that they should be redeemed. On the other side of the coin, where there things have reached such a state that no one is righteous, then it's a little bit like in Egypt. The guy can't wait anymore. So he'll have to redeem us because his entire mission and purpose in creation is at risk. So when it reaches the point where there's nobody around to do God's work anymore, and the world is completely in the hands of evil, that's when shit has to come. I would not want to have the temperature of this generation taken. Find out where we were holding
45,
46.
Exactly. 46.
So one of the opinions says that this is a metaphor. A society which has kind of good elements and bad elements, a society that for which he's still going to do things, take the evil out. Society is still struggling to become righteous, so it works with trying to either excise the evil, redeem the evil. So, okay, we've identified this is not working, so you go outside, get your act in order, then you'll come back in, so on. When there's no one left to, work with to heal society, so at that point, that forces God's hand. So they say that over here, when as long as there's healthy skin, some of the skin which is suffering from this particular affliction or this particular eruption, so you can send him out. He's got within him the good. He can correct himself. He can do tshuva. But the guy is totally. Entire body is afflicted. He's tor, and he's tor because at that point the Almighty, who is Kohen, is going to step in and say, "Okay, guys, I'll take care of this thing. I'm in charge of it. I'll make it tor. I can't depend on him to make it tor anymore." So there's still in the Midrashim. There are still references to Kohanim judging the different afflictions. I would have to assume that probably at the latest it would be destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and the dispersion of the Jews, and there was no longer anybody to really. I think they're probably up until the end of the second Beis Hamikdash. Mm-hmm. There's a likelihood that, I mean, they still could do something. They'd get it, there was Kohanim, they could recognize it. They would bring the korbanos, they could reinstate themselves. Well, the symptomatic of the fact that we, in a certain sense, that our lives have become so much more coarse, that we're not we're not registering these kinds of... His name was Nama.
Nama. What period was that?
That was in the time of the prophet Elisha, I believe. I think Elisha was the prophet at the time, right?
But he was not a Jew.
No.
The Nama was not a Jew.
Right.
He became...
I thought he converted eventually. After the...
I think he became a Ger... Ger Toshav. I don't think he became a Ger Tzedek. I think he became a Ger Toshav.
What's that?
That's he became a believer in monotheism and kept the Noahide laws, I believe. Oh, here it is. Okay, so here's, I want to show you something interesting. In Parshas Tezri, in our Parsha, take a look at chapter 13, Pasuk 9. This is relative to Elisha. Elisha said, here's this general who was sent by his king to Israel because they told him that in Israel, that they could cure his leprosy. So he came to the king of Israel. The king of Israel tore his clothes in grief. He was sure that because he knew that he had nothing to offer, and that as a result, that this could provoke some very serious incident between the countries. He was the most powerful general in his country, so Elisha, the prophet, sent the messenger to the king saying, why are you tearing your clothes? There are prophets in Israel, send them to me. So the general and his entourage went to Elisha. And Elisha instructed him to go and immerse himself in the waters of the Jordan 7 times, I think it was. Tova. So Naaman, the general, was very upset. He was very irritated. He aggravated and he said, we have equally good, if not better, streams and waters in my country, wherever he came from, Aram or someplace, whatever. So those members of his entourage said, well, what do you got to lose? You came on this travel, all this distance. So he went and immersed himself in the waters of the Jordan, and his leprosy went away. And he was so taken with it, he went back and he offered Elisha money. Elisha refused it. That's when Gehazi secretly went and got the money. And he became leprous, Gehazi anyway. So one of the Mefarshim says, I don't know why he has a problem with it. So how did Elisha know to give him this advice? So he says that there are only three Pesukim in the Torah, which begin with the letter Nun and end with the letter Nun, and have, Naaman, this general, his name Naaman began with a Nun, ended with a Nun, and in the middle there was an Ayin and a Mem, right? Naaman. So he said there are only three Pesukim in the Torah that begin with the Nun and end with the Nun and have the letters I and Mem in the middle. So one of them is in our Sedra, which talks about Tzaras. So in Pasuk 9, Nega Tzaras Ki Sieba Adam V'huva Alei Kohen. Begins with a Nun, ends with a Kohen, ends with a Nun, and in the middle you have an Ayin and there's a Mem. Adam. And so that's one.
From Naaman.
Huh? From Naaman, right. That's one. Talks about Tzaras. The second pasuk is in Numbers, chapter 32. So over there it's really talking about the tribe of Reuben and Gad going over they're wanting their portion on the east bank of the Jordan. It's chapter 32, pasuk 32. So take a look at that, the Hebrew. Nachnu. The pasuk is Nachnu Narbur Chalutim Nehashem Eretzkin. On we will go over the as a fighting force before the nation to the land of Canaan. We already have our portion on this side. Meival Yadin. So the pasuk begins with a Nun, Nachnu, ends with a Nun, Yarden, right? So it has a Nun, and in the middle there's an Ayin and there's a Mem. So Again, so here the subject, the first one we had was talking about Saras. Now it's talking about going over the Jordan. Right? And the third one is in the book of Deuteronomy, and that's chapter 18, Pasuk 15. Navi. See the Hebrew?
Yep.
They're talking about a prophet.
Right.
A prophet from amongst you, from your brothers, like me, Hashem will raise up. Elok Tishmon, you should listen to him. Pasuk begins with a nun, ends with a nun, and has a mem and a nun in the middle. So he says that Elisha, when he didn't exactly have a computer, but Elisha, there were only three psukim in the Torah that begin with a nun of Naaman. Ends with the nun of, like Naaman's name, ends with the nun has in the middle letters I and Mem. These are three psukim. One deals with the prophet, one deals with the Jordan, and one deals with leprosy.